You ever have those deep questions, and you might even express it with somebody, and they just say, that's just the way it is. You hear it all the time. You come across it all the time yourself. And most of the time, that's not acceptable. It's just not, it's not good enough. I need to know more. You know, especially if you ask as many questions as I do. But the Lord has a way of saying, that's just the way it is, and causing you to be able to accept that. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. Sometimes you even get a glimpse of the answer, but you couldn't express it if you wanted to. And I'm not that I go off on any deep thoughts, but I'll tell you what, it's a good thing to know I can sit down with the Lord and, you know, and I can say, why is the sky so blue? And He'll just say, that's just the way it is. That's just a simple thing. And I might say to my dad, that's not acceptable though. I need to know a better reason why. But to the Lord, I can say, you know what? That's right. Why? Because it's something about Him. There's something about what He is all about. There's something precious about the Lord and what He's able to do. It's all about Him. And I can say that without Him appearing to be prideful and stuck up and, yes, you will worship and bow down to me. Because that's not our God. But the more you find out about Him, and the more you get off of you, the more beautiful He becomes, and how more beautiful you become. How can you express it? I don't know. It's just, God is, He's not flesh and blood. He's not limited to our mindsets. He's not limited to our time periods. I was thinking about time today. And how easy it is for us to get caught up with what we're doing and where we're at, especially when time is running out. And we just got to get things done now. Because we live that way every day in a small scale. Our whole life runs out quick enough. But to God, who has no beginning and no end, you know, He doesn't work on our time schedule. So when I see things happening and I see... Me, who has had very little dealings with certain individuals, sees a wonderful thing happening right now. And it looks very not so wonderful at this very moment, but the whole picture is much more beautiful than what's taking place at this exact moment. Especially when you can look, and it's almost like looking in a mirror and seeing something that you were once doing. Thoughts, everything. And I won't go down that road because I am talking a little darkly there. I would just say this. God is moving in people's lives. He is causing things to happen and take place, and He's doing it on His time. And when all of a sudden something does happen that we think, well, wait a second, this is messing everything up. Well, wait a second. Is this your time? Is this your plan? Or is this God's time and plan? He knows what's happening. He's never hoodwinked by people around us. Never. Oh Lord. I probably shouldn't even start reading. I'll mess it all up. I would like to share some scripture with you. My thought is because of people around us that we're dealing with right now, here and today. And I was, during the last service, the service before, I don't know, I was reminded again something that we all already know. This is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual thing. People don't understand what I'm saying when I say this is a spiritual thing. And the quick reminder and simple thing was for me was, I wonder what this person is thinking as we're singing about blood. And we're singing about blood an awful lot. And we're talking about sacrifices. And we're talking about all this stuff that somebody might not have ever heard before. And I just want to say, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And don't let it scare you. I see the reason why some can be afraid, especially with the wonderful technology that we have. You can turn on the tube anytime you want and see man's imagination of what God is. And they'll even label it Christianity. They'll label it Jesus. They will label it things that might not necessarily be true, but things that we truly are about. Let me tell you something. I don't remember believing, but I hear that some have in times past, that when I was baptized into some water, that there was an actual physical blood that was going to wash me clean. It's not a physical cleaning. Although my physical starts to appear cleaner, perhaps. But this blood is all about this blood that was shed for us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It was shed for us at Calvary. That reason, this happening, gives us this opportunity for the Father to draw us unto Himself. Because that blood was shed, this is the blood that washes us clean. But that we're not going to try to wash you in a physical, natural blood. That natural blood dried up a long time ago. That natural blood seeped down into the ground as it ran off the cross. That is gone. There is no longer a physical blood around that we're going to try to somehow get you to drink of. There's Scripture in the Word of God, and I will not go to the book of John now, that talks about eating of my flesh and drinking of my blood. He's talking about partaking in His death. But you're not going to, and not you're not expected to go through the same thing He did, because number one, it wouldn't do you any good. And number two, because He did do it. So that you can come unto the Father. So it's a spiritual thing. That's my thought. Let's read some Scripture. This is where I'd like to have said, Brother Joe, I'll take another week, because I came across 15,000 Scriptures that would all back this up. And I really didn't really get started on which direction to go. And it's a spiritual thing. It really is a spiritual thing. I just love the Lord, and I'm here to share with you tonight that you can live for God. You can't, but it's more than just so many phrases. I often say to myself, do I know what I'm saying right now, or have I just become accustomed to saying them? You can live for God. It's more than that. It's in a relationship with God. You can walk with your Creator. You can have the same relationship that Adam had in the Garden of Eden today. Because that's what He's desiring to have. He has never lost desire to walk and talk with His creation. He has never lost desire to have you look to Him, and that's all that's important to you. That this relationship is here and now. Every once in a while I get that little glimpse, I don't know about you, of, oh Lord, 70 years is nothing. I got to get busy. I got to do something. The world says, you're only here for a short time. Might as well live it up. Child of God says, I got some souls to reach right now. Because you know what? My time period here is very small. And people are coming and going every minute. And I want to give my all to Him and do this thing. I express it to my wife all the time. I want to do this thing. I say it and say it, say it. I want to do this thing. Do what thing? I want to go further. I want to have an experience with Him that is pleasing to Him. That if you know to do something, you do it. That's what the Word of God says. If you know to do something and you're not doing it, that's sin. And I've had these conversations many a time, and it's preached across this pulpit regularly. And this is not the road I'm going down tonight. I said, Lord, you know what? I just want to preach good tidings tonight. I want to stay simple. How much more simple is it to know that it's a spiritual thing? That it's a spiritual thing. I want to keep it simple because I'm reaching out to somebody. Somebody's going to want to know what this is all about. Let me read a couple of scriptures. Stay with me. I'm not sure what thoughts are going to come out of this. And my marker. I started to cut pieces of paper tonight because I wanted to be able to turn real quick to it and not look like a total imbecile up here, not knowing what he's doing. And I realized, wait a minute, I start cutting up a bunch of slips of paper here. I started thinking, oh, you know what? I need to just find one or two scriptures and let my heart go out and stop just reading the Word over and over and over and just let God do His bit. It's okay to have a couple scriptures, but I didn't want to have a flag up here waving out of my Bible and me trying to run through a bunch of things. And I want to stay with a 5-minute thought, and it might go for a little bit, but it's still a 5-minute thought. I'm in the book of Acts. I'm in the 17th chapter. We are with Paul the Apostle, who's a converted Jew. And he's in Athens. Now, I'm going to start reading at 16, and I just want to go a little bit with it and hopefully be quick. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. All right, now these are Jews, mind you. This is not a bunch of... I've often thought about the fact because he's the Gentile preacher, you know, the guy that's going out to get the Gentiles, people who were not the natural, not Jews, Gentiles. Either one or the other. And therefore disputed he in the synagogue, okay, with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. You know, in other words, these things ought not to be. What's going on here? Even if you're Jewish, you shouldn't be doing this stuff and haven't heard the truth of Jesus Christ. This stuff is not right. Then certain philosophers of these people and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Amen. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine..." You know, my eyes are getting worse and worse. You know, I'm almost 37 years old, and I'm feeling it. "May we know..." Now I see why my pastor puts his Bible up here. I thought maybe it was just so I can get a real good camera shot, by which I can. But I think it's more along the lines it's easier to read the Bible. That's what I think. This desk is kind of low. Oh, Lord. And they took him. "What are you speaking about, Paul? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there..." So I guess it's mixed, Jews and strangers. "Which were there spent their time and nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Now, I've heard some beautiful messages preached here, but I'm going to keep right on going. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now I hope I'm in right in seeing this, but according to the people he's talking to, these people are not the children of God. Why? Because Jesus has already been hung on a tree. And all that natural has ceased, or the law has been fulfilled. Thus, the only way you can continue to be a child of God today is to accept that one supreme sacrifice. You must get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and get filled with His Holy Ghost to continue on as a child of God. He's speaking to these people as in, you know what? You're still trying to worship the same God that I worship today. You're still going after Jehovah, is to my understanding. Because he's getting ready to declare this God unto them. He's getting ready to declare this God unto him as Paul had it declared unto him direct from God himself. Because Paul was not a child of God at this moment any longer either, when Paul was struck to the ground. And Paul said, "Who art thou, Jehovah? Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus." So Paul was able to talk to these same individuals in the same predicament they were in and tell them the same thing. I consider this a blessing to read this and hear this. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." It's a spiritual thing. "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Here's a man who's realized all have been counted under sin. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Every one of us. He's talking to strangers now. He's talking to Jews who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ. He's talking to people that are not of God at the moment. And He's saying God's not far from any one of us. He's put us all in a category together here. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. And I'm not going to go down, but what I see, we all did come from one individual, and you'll hear people all over the world, people especially who don't want to live for God, still say, yeah, but we all came from one, right? Well, that is the truth. We all did come from one, didn't we? For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device, and all this stuff that you have gathered into yourselves. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. How many times have we heard that? But now commandeth all men everywhere. All men everywhere. In other words, all people. Everybody. No matter who you are, Jew, Gentile, all of you, repent. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And I'm going to... Oh, yeah, I'll keep going with this. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Okay, yeah, great, fine, wonderful. You'll hear it again later. You didn't want to take it right then and there, in other words. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, and you all have to love this verse, certain men cleaved unto Him and believed. And believed. And then it goes on, among with which was, and this person right here, Dionysus. And we'll just move on. Go to the book of Acts. I want to read some more about this because it is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Oh, you know what? We're going to go to the book of Romans. You can leave the book of Acts. And what I wanted to go on to was that Paul had stated at one point where God had purchased with His own blood. And it got me to thinking about the blood. This is all about to let you know it's a spiritual thing. God's a spirit. How could He have blood? It's a spiritual thing. And it was His own blood. It's a spiritual thing. And a little bit more will be explained as we get into the book of Romans. The third chapter. And we all know that the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It's a great place to show somebody how we get saved. It's a great place to show somebody the Acts of the Apostles, which is what it is. And we know that the book of Romans was written to the church. The book of Romans was written to us. But that does not say that the us can't take what you've learned in the Word of God to reach out for them. So don't think you have to stay out of the New Testament if you're a child of God to go reach for somebody who has not grabbed hold of this. God's good. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so wonderful. So many people ask, what is sin? And the quick little thought that I had, how do you know what is sin? Right? Have you heard this? How do you know what's sin, brother? You know, what tells you what sin is? Well, number one, you have to be a believer. You got to believe that God is. Go take a look at the law. The law tells you what sin is. You can find that in the book of Romans as well. I'll pass right through there. I never saw it quite the way I saw it when I just read that simple scripture, and it talked about basically that. The law is, that's what shows you what sin is. And that's why nobody can do it on their own and needed a Savior. Because it was impossible. The law would actually beat you into the ground. Because you would not be able to do it. And then we have one, though, that comes to us. It's a spiritual thing. Makes it possible for us to have the law in our hearts so that we can do this too. We can do this. We can walk according to His ways. You know, it was impossible before. It was an impossibility. It was not feasible, it was impossible, comprehensible. For any one of us without the Holy Ghost, even as a Jew back then, to try to live the way God wanted them to live was the same way that when we deal with somebody who has no comprehension whatsoever and we stand there scratching our heads saying, why would they do that though? Why? You know, why? Why would they do that? Doesn't make any sense. But I can recall and think back and look back at my own life, my own parents, the way they dealt with me, the things that came forth of them. It wasn't because they hated me, but they had no comprehension. They had no understanding of what I've come to learn. And what you guys know. They don't understand. They don't think it at all. If they don't have the Holy Ghost, these thoughts never enter their minds. Not in the morning when they wake up, not at night when they go to sleep. Not when they're straight, not when they're high. None of it. No comprehension because it's not there. They can read the Bible front to back. No Holy Ghost? Guess what? The comprehension, it's not there. It is not there. Somebody can show you knowledge of the Word of God, but without the Spirit, there's something missing. The true understanding is not there. That's why we can scratch our heads and say, well, why? Why? Why won't they just grab hold of it? It's right there in front of them. It's so easy. It's so simple. That how do you just grab hold of something that you can't see? That's where God steps in. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. You couldn't do it before Calvary. Nobody could. Nobody ever would have been able to. That's why we have a Savior, so that we can do that. Think about what I'm saying now, because we got a bunch of children of God today. From when that took place till now, there's been a whole bunch that are able to understand and see. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. Because of Jesus. He's the one. He's the reason. Without Him, it is impossible. The Word of God says it all over the place. If He had not done this for us, we would not be standing here today preaching this message. It would not be this way. Who knows what it would be like now had He not done what He did. I thank God for what He has done for us. It is worth praising Him for. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. My Lord. All right, let me step into the third chapter. Go to the 21st verse with me, please. But now the righteousness. I'm not going to back up. I'm going to start right there and keep going. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. This is where I was talking about Paul just throwing everybody in the same category, and everybody needs to realize it, that we all have the same opportunity now. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through forbearance of God. Oh Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be able to say anything right there, but I wanted to stop for a second, because how many of you in here even know what the word propitiation means? I haven't known since I looked it up tonight. I just knew it was something good because it's something that He did. Where did I write it down? Oh, Lord, I hope I wrote it down. Propitiation. This is, now I was reading, I don't even know where I got this book from. I think you gave it to me a long time ago. And there was a lot for it, but I just wrote down, it said the simple part of what propitiation is. To turn away one's anger by giving an offering. So God provided Himself a sacrifice. He made it possible because nobody else could do it. And I'm having more thoughts right now on this subject that I understand, but it does, you go real far with these things when you start running with it. And this is where I started to see more of the oneness of God, what He has done for us, the oneness, the spirituality of what's happening here, and not only that, but the love of God as it was spoken of tonight towards us. And how He's not a great big mean God. And He even knows how to beat His own anger and cause us not to die. Is basically what it came down to. He set it up that He was able to stop Himself. Because the wrath of God is thus and so. And to save you and I, He stopped Himself from doing that without going against Himself. If you can understand that. It's a beautiful thing. Go look into it. I want to reach out for the people that don't understand this stuff. What am I saying? I'm saying that He's one God. He's not flesh and blood. There was a man, Christ Jesus, who was crucified for us. That's whom we're talking about. He provided Himself. He provided. That's why He's able to say God's own blood. But God didn't die when this took place. The man died. The man was crucified. That blood was poured out. As a result of this, we are able to enter in to this death, which is absolutely necessary. By doing this, it removes the sin from your life. He wasn't worthy of sin. When you enter into Him, you're not going to be worthy of sin. Worthy of death. Sin. Sin is death. It brings about death. So to continue on, the obedience of one. Romans 5 and 19. You know the scripture and I know the scripture. Let's try to use it to reach somebody, to get more of understanding. So it's not a physical blood that's going to come into your life. We're not going to make you drink blood here. It's not going to happen. Too many people get caught up in the physicalness. I dwelt upon this many a times. We're not going to go back over here and grab one of these snakes I have hidden over here and see how faithful you are. How much do you believe? That's not what it's all about. You know what? That's creating your own works. That's causing you to see if you can do it or not. And that's not what this is all about. This is all about the fact of realization. You know what? He did it. I need to do what He says do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The problem I hear out there, and the manifestation is clear, that's why it's judged, is too many people say, well, that's right, He did everything. I don't have to do anything. Well, according to this, you have to be obedient to Him. So, if He tells you to do something, then you got to do it. If you don't do it, you're not being obedient. You're being disobedient. And it's His works that did everything. Paul has talked about it over and over again right here. About His works. It's, you got to be obedient to Him. Because He's the one that made it possible. I like to keep that even more simple somehow. To somehow get that dart that shows up every time we talk about this and just somehow pull it out that causes you to get a little tensed and feel like we're attacking or feel like something's just not quite right. And I'm telling you right now, when you allow Him to take control, you're not a puppet on a string. I promise you, you're not a puppet on a string. When God's in control is much different than when the spirit of this world's in control and dangling you around like a puppet on a string. He's bigger than that, folks. You got to understand what I'm saying. There's no beginning, no ending. He's far greater than our imaginations can go. He's beyond that. So when there's something He's trying to express to you, or rather He's placing out there for you to grab hold of, He's not trying to do anything. He either does or doesn't. It's there for you. Let me stop saying that. God doesn't try to do anything. I know we say that over and over again. That, oh, I know He's trying to get through to you. He's trying to do this. And we hear the funny stories about, I've been trying to get into there for years. And that's not God. God does or does not. It's up to us. That should be encouraging. You know why? Because that I'm telling you outright that it's possible for you to have this that I'm talking about. Because I'm canceling that He's trying to get a hold of me stuff. I'm telling you right now, it is possible for you to live for God. And everything's out of the way because God's not trying to do anything. It's been done. And if we're here today standing here telling you that you can live for God because the Word of God says you can live for God, then it's settled. And it's all about you grabbing hold of it now. So if you don't grab hold of it, no one but you is at fault for that. It's not God couldn't get through to you. It's that you decided to pull back and say no. And that can go in all kinds of directions. Subjects in the Word of God. Anything. It's there for you, in other words. It's up to you to take it. I just want to read these scriptures and shut up and sit down. Believe it or not, this is... Oh, Lord. Forgive me. All right. 5 and 19 says... Let me just read it. For as by one man's disobedience, thank you, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. These are all those scriptures I'm talking to you about how beautiful it is that what He has done for us. And how it is all about Him, but not because He's all stuck up and high and mighty. He is high and mighty, but not in that frame that our mindsets think on a lot. But that when you get there, when you allow Him to do that, it's far beyond what you can imagine. Okay. All right. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank you, Lord. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me read the next couple of scriptures and then I'll close on that. What shall we say then? I'm using this, you know these scriptures well if you're a child of God. But I'm using these again, not as a club, but as in an answer. An answer to your own life. Ask yourself. I'm not asking anybody. I'm not looking into people's lives to see what they're doing. I don't want to know. I've learned. I'm learning even more so. I don't want to know what you're doing. But you know what's going on inside of you. How do you know what sin is? Take a look. If you're a believer, then you know that there is a word that's been given. You can take a look for yourself right now. Go into the Word of God and you can just start seeing, you know, reading the law and understanding that this is and that isn't. But you know what? It's placed in you. There's something naturally placed in you. You know it's not a good thing to steal, that's a no-no. All religions teach that. You know you shouldn't lie and cheat. You know that you shouldn't do all these things. Because you don't need any kind of piece of paper with writing on it to learn this as you grow up. Somebody's going to teach you something that came from the heart of God that you should do or you shouldn't do. But we do have a Bible today that does have a lot of words written in it telling you what's right and what's wrong. So, with that being said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I'd like to have heard how he said it. I don't know. He might have said it loud. I don't know. He's writing it down here, but I'm sure he said it somewhere too. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What more do we need to know that if sin's in our life, Oh, but how do we know what... That circle. Get out of the circle. Get out of the loop.
Hallelujah.
It's a spiritual thing. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? This is what he's been talking about prior to here. Talking about getting baptized in the name of Jesus Christ as it was preached on the day of Pentecost. As Jesus told them, you go do this when the time is right. You'll know. Trust me. You'll know when the time is right. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost was a good time to preach, Acts 2:38. And that's about what happens. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. I'll leave it at that. So how do I know? Well, I got a Bible here that tells me so. I have an experience that has told me so. I know what it is to lose taste for alcohol, as it was just mentioned to me again, that somebody else is going through the same thing right now. I know what it is to have the real Spirit of God step into my life and say, hey, come take a walk with me. I want to show you some really cool things. I love the Lord with all my heart tonight. Should we live any longer in sin? God forbid. He was talking to the children of God. I'm using this to share with you out there as well. You shouldn't be in sin. And it's possible for you to be out of it. As a matter of fact, if I were to go further, there's so much here to say that you have to get out of sin. Because if you die with sin, that's not a good thing. We don't want to talk about that tonight. Dying with sin in our life. Obedience is everything. The Word of God says it's better than sacrifice. And obedience is a good thing. You know what this is? We preach so hard about the name of Jesus Christ and how important it is. God, it's never fazed Him a bit. He's always known that this is the way it's going to be. I promise you right now, His concern is you. Is you. Go open it up. Look at it. Children of God, look at this thing. And realize His concern really is you. I have found myself in a position before where I thought, this is all about the name of Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing, but wait, all of a sudden I felt no importance at all. And now all of a sudden I was a bug again and I was ready to be squashed. But then I saw, as I looked further into His Word of God, into His Word, that it's a beautiful thing and He really does love me. You know what it is to catch a glimpse of something in a mirror? Like, yeah, that's the way I view it. A mirror of eternity. And have the Lord staring back at you saying, this is it, man. I love you. I really do. Hallelujah. I love you. Hallelujah. And this is all about grabbing hold of you. Yes. And whoever else we can get. Yes. It's not a hard thing. It's not a hard thing to believe that He really loves us. Do you believe it tonight?
Yes.
Do you really believe that He loves you tonight? You need to. Not just say it. You need to understand. The name of Jesus Christ is a beautiful thing. He loves us. He could have done this any way He wanted to. He chose to do it this way. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you. And there's so much beauty here. I thank God for this tonight. I thank God for the opportunity to come up here and open up my heart. Because there's things in a day, I know how it is to get tangled up in a day and lose sight, to forget things, to get caught up and wonder this and wonder that and wait a second and get in the mindset that there's no better way to express it than show it. And then all of a sudden get the opportunity to let that living water flow through you.
Glory.
Everything set aside.
Glory.
Have opportunity to see the love of God again, not only for me but for people around me. To get that reminder, my time is short here. I do need to grab hold of somebody. Why? Because He does love that individual. And that's what this is all about. The expression of love comes from Him. What a beautiful thing it is. Oh Lord, the reason why I want to keep going is because I see it's a beautiful thing. And I'm going to have to pick up a paintbrush in the morning. And I don't want to do that. It's not as beautiful a thing. No matter what kind of picture I paint, it's not as beautiful as this. And I do understand today why people do what they do, as far as where I used to would have said, I can't understand why you don't want to come here and grab hold of this. Now I can say after tonight, I do understand why. Lord, show me how to break past that. Because I do understand and remember, without going back to it, what it is not to have the Holy Ghost. I do understand what it is. Just think on it. Go home and think on what it is. No comprehension. None. They don't have even the littlest of thoughts about God the way we do. None. So how do you get them to come? How do you get past that and get them to come and get a hold of this thing? That's where it's at. We're here. They're coming. I love the Lord tonight. Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Love lifted me when nothing else could have. Love lifted me. Love lifted me.
Oh, hallelujah. He loved us before we first loved Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the love of God.
Good stuff.
Praise God.